Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Do your children know you was a trick?
Yeah.
They know?
It
How do they know?
They don't know about me.
How do they know?
I told them. I told them why? I don't know.
There's a lot of things kids need in life, but few of them need to know that their mama was a hoe.
The music is just
that's what was really.
I was moved by that, okay? I was impacted, I was touched, I was shifted in my soul, okay?
Few things they need to know.
Y'all always end up calling a hashtag. That's it. Few things. Now, let me tell you why. Iyanla is a person who we know gets straight to the point, okay?
You're
going to trim it, trim the excess, and get right down to what needs to be said. In this case, she was saying, maybe not say so much. She said there's a few things that children don't need to know. One of them is that their mama was a hoe. Stop all this oversharing shit. In this day and age, I thought this was especially relevant in today's online community. Because you motherfuckers want to be on Instagram, smoking blunt, shaking ass, and all these things with babies running across the frame. And all the diapers are sagging. So everybody's waiting on you to make a change, whether it's the diaper or your behavior. And I just think that this speaks to the separation that needs to lie. You need to be church and your kids need to be state. Okay? They must stay separate in certain arenas. So the hashtag is few things. Get your few things together. Identify your few things and make sure that one of the few things your kids don't know that they should know is that they mama or daddy was a hoe. Hashtag few things. Now it's time for a few other things. QTNAs. We went long form this week like old school. So here we go. Number one. Is it true that at a recent MAC Cosmetics activation in Los Angeles, the iconic producer and rapper and singer Missy Elliott was backing away from the punch fountain, dancing and singing the words to her song Get Your Freak On, when she backed right into the person standing behind her and her ponytail hit their turban? At the same time, they both turned around and said, excuse me. And then for 2 seconds, one, two, Missy Elliott stared into the eyes of makeup wizard Patrick Starr before turning around so that she didn't miss the part of the song. I'm gonna tell you. I watched the takeaway video over the weekend with her and Ginuwine and Tweet. Remember that song?
Yes.
And she looked just like Patrick Starr in that video. So if you need a reference, there it is.
Oh,
question two. Which one of y'all
this
said?
Is getting worse and worse.
Which one of y'all said that Tiny and T.I. got into it after Red Table Talk? After they taped Red Table Talk, they got into it. And T.I. almost missed his flight because he was ignoring Tiny saying, excuse me, when she was trying to tell him that the gate changed because they weren't talking when they went through security. That Red Table Talk then broke up the family.
Damn.
Question three.
It was just
funny to me. Question three. Which one of y'all said that Ray J's baby won't go to him no more ever since after him and Princess' most recent, most public argument? Because when he didn't come home, she whispered, that ain't your daddy, to the baby. Which one of y'all said Princess been telling that baby that ain't his daddy?
Ray Brad.
All right. Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look at all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Who in the hell wants a musty brain or a baby that thinks they not the daddy? How y'all doing?
Amazing. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Doing real good.
How are you handling this weather?
You know what? Bundled. That's how I'm handling it. I'm handling it with down feathers and shit. Gloves and shit.
Swaddled like a burrito.
You gotta wrap it up. Everything.
Got me a little space heater.
I got a bubble condom. Now you got a bubble coat puffer, a puffer condom, because everything gets cold in this weather, man.
It's true. Everything does get cold. My toes was cold.
So before we get started, let's announce for the last time that San Francisco, we will be visiting your city this Saturday, December 7th.
Yes, we
this
will.
This weekend.
San Francisco.
Trollops
we'll
on the trolley. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
We're very excited. We will be there with Jade and Kia of Get Grown. If you have not gotten your tickets, please do so now at thefriendzonelive.com. What else?
And I don't want no damn rice-a-roni when I get there either.
Shit.
I don't care if it is y'all's treat.
Depending on how high I am, I might want me some rice-a-roni. And they got dispensaries out there.
Give him mine.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be lit.
I know what I'm doing.
Lit.
Our
merch shop will be closed, so I guess I shouldn't announce that.
Oh yeah!
Thank you to everybody who did place orders.
Man, yes. You guys was awesome. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed our photography, our cute modeling with our beanies and our dad hats and our crew necks, and then the mukbang.
Yes.
Yay! You know I'm
Fran
happy.
Got her mukbang.
I got my mukbang. Come on, admit it, you guys. When you watched it back, it was funny.
Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. So hilarious.
We had so much fun making it. I think we should do more.
I have to tell you a secret.
I think we should start a channel.
I was very upset because we had them chicken sandwiches and there was only one spicy chicken sandwich.
Who ate it?
You know, everybody,
not me.
I know there were so many other chicken sandwiches. Like, everybody wants the spicy. That's why when y'all was like, keep eating, I was like, I don't want anything else.
And I love that y'all get me so well that not one person asked if I was going to eat the Popeyes. Like, nobody assumed it.
Literally one person asked, and then they deleted their thing. And I think
they
still
realized.
Because they DM'd me afterwards and said something. I was like, I didn't see this. I don't really read this.
What would vegan Popeyes even be called? Olive oil.
I tried to do olive oil's voice. I couldn't remember it.
Wow. Dustin be killing me. But we have fun. The Burger King Whopper was... All right.
It was there.
Mm-hmm. It was. There were two of them. I remember.
Any announcements before we get started?
Not for me. I just can't wait to see everybody in San Francisco and then in Atlanta the next weekend for our sold out show.
OMG, yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Look
all of our friends are coming
too.
Out to that. Do we have the information for the pop-up yet?
We don't. They just got to keep their eyes and legs open.
Well, by next week's episode, obviously, we'll have all of that for you. So
yeah, Atlanta Look Alive. Y'all have already shown so much love and sold out the show. So make sure you come to the pop-up if you didn't have a chance to get any of the Black Friday deals. And it's also an opportunity to get your merch before you come to the show, so you ain't got to carry that when you leave the show.
And some slutty vegan from the truck.
Yes, and slutty vegan's gonna be there. So that's we're giving you more than enough reasons to come out to the pop up.
So,
y'all better come on out.
Yeah. We thought that was most appropriate because Fran's vegan. You know the rest.
They filled it in.
Y'all is so
She's the vegan. I'm the
Wow.
Also, I had to let you guys know that my vlog with Shameless Maya about our trip to Iceland
Do you know
is
I watched
on her
it?
YouTube channel. What'd you think?
It's amazing.
Wasn't it
first
great?
Of all,
we did great.
First of
we
all,
did a good job.
Well, y'all did a great job.
Thank
Not
you.
A good job. It looked so beautiful. First of all, let me dial this back here because I have a 4K TV and it was I saw Maya's thing pop up and it said the 4K. So I was like, oh, let me watch this. She had the drone on deck with all the beautiful sights. Y'all looked so hip and cool
and so
cultured. It was amazing and beautiful to watch. So
yeah, we did a great job with the videography, and then I have to give her extra props because she slayed the drone.
Yes.
And she slayed
did.
The editing.
Yeah. Because she put together a great story, great showing, you know, everything that you guys did, the app.
Just a great story.
Because I was looking at Nokin on her showing, and I was like, well, actually, I need to get my own trip popping, because it's literally all right there with the descriptions and everything. So it was very informative and very, like, beautiful to watch.
Yeah, and it's awesome because we have, most influencers are part of this website called FOHR, and it kind of keeps track of what traffic you're sending to which brands.
Mm-hmm.
And it sent us this card that basically said Nokin received the most traffic, like, period, just from our brand. So that was good because that means not only did we do our job and hold our end of the deal by providing beautiful content, but you guys actually enjoyed the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And we're on the app, on the website. A lot of you have already been to Iceland, which is bugged out, and tagged us from the Blue Lagoon. Like, thank you for inspiring us, which is the coolest thing, to just see beautiful Black girls chilling in Iceland now.
That set of pictures you put up was so, like, influential and spiritual.
So freaking cool, man. Because
just watching
you
there was just kind of like, and this is just for me viewing this. I can only imagine why people was like, well, let me buy my ticket now.
Yeah, man. A lot of people have been tagging us. It's the coolest thing. Like, y'all move fast. And I love that. Y'all were just like, we out. So now we're definitely going to be talking to Noken about what our next trip is. But like I said, we are going to Maui in March, which I'm excited about. Yeah, I'll definitely be able to give you guys more information about that as it comes together.
Well, tell Noken we want to come. You know, it'll be my birthday month too.
Right. With Noken, see, the Maui trip isn't even with Noken. It's another brand that hit me. Oh. But we're trying to do Tokyo with Noken because we think we would slay that. Videography would be great.
Come on
with
now.
All those lights.
Oh
yeah. Cannot wait. I just can't wait. But Asante.
Yeah.
You have a Black Business of the Week.
Yes. 'Tis the holiday season, and we're all looking for fun gifts to give our loved ones. And if you're in New York City, you're in luck. And they ship, so you're in luck as well. But I want to give a good shout out to Harlem Chocolate Factory. You can go look at harlemchocolatefactory.com.
Mmm.
First of all, I love chocolate.
Is it on Lennox?
It is on Adam Clayton Powell, I believe. Hold on, let me get to this, let me get to the location.
Because I'm like, have I passed it? I feel like I've passed it, but maybe not.
You might have passed it because I remember every when I say the emblem, I'm like, I know exactly
what
this
is. That's
what
I'm saying.
Is.
I'm like, why do I feel like I've passed it on my walk to my old home?
Yeah, so it's actually on Adam Clayton Powell. It's at 2363 Adam Clayton Powell Jr. It's by Stravers Row, so right over there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, check out Harlem Chocolate Factory. They have all sorts of chocolate treats you can think of. They do bark. They do hot chocolate. There's cookies. I mean, sauces and spreads. And they also do corporate gifting and event ordering. So check them out. Black-owned business. And it's chocolate. So it's delicious.
And be careful with that chocolate spread. Make sure you don't get it nowhere it ain't supposed to go. There'll be a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know, you fuck around and see that spilt somewhere. You'd be like, wait a minute. Shit on the goddamn.
That is it for the Black Business of the Week.
Sorry, you ready? I can't even think today. Are you guys ready for the recap segment?
Yes, we are.
No.
So on last week's episode titled Hits That Stick Volume 1, it was the Asante Smith takeover.
Hey.
Asante, please let the listeners know what the show was about.
Well, we got to talk about hits from the 99 on up to 2014. I think we stopped around 2015. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just got to talk about a lot of our favorite Billboard year-end songs. And we also did this really cool birthday song generator, which when you put your birthday in it, it told you what song was the hit that month you were born. And a lot of you all participated and partook. So I just actually, to get into the recap, which you're setting up perfectly and I'm not ruining, I would like to share from the Twitter street some replies because you, Fran, a friend runs the Twitter and she does an amazing job.
Thanks.
At Friends on Pod, Fran tweeted, well, Friends on Pod tweeted what Fran tweeted. Did you check out your birthday jam? What was it? And a lot of you replied, and I was reading these, and I was like, oh, that was a jam. I want to go ahead and start off with Carrie. At It's Carrie _ Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. That was a jam. And then I also saw, I want to give a special shout out to Malika Chameleon, whose song was Eye of the Tiger, Survivor.
My favorite was someone saying Baby Got Back was a song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby, you want to get with ya and take your picture.
I was like, that's a vibe. All right, so on the SoundCloud street.
Yes.
B says, Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up is my wedding song.
Oh, God.
Hey.
She said it got played by mistake, but they laughed and went with it. And it's a great memory. So she got Rickrolled at her wedding.
So wait. Did she say what was supposed to be the song?
No. But I think that's amazing. So it was like, fuck it.
That's it.
We here.
She probably turned around and was like, well, shit. Turned around and started throwing ass to it. You know what I'm saying?
Dustin, what you find in the Twitter streets?
So this week in the Twitter streets, I just want to give a couple highlights to things that really touched my soul. One of which would be from Charlotte Clymer at CMCLYMER, who said, then this is after a headline surfaced saying that Kid Rock had like went on this drunken rant talking shit about Oprah, saying fuck Oprah and she
what?
Can suck
like
his
recently?
Dick sideways.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
He was at his restaurant in Nashville called the Big Ass. This is literally the name of the restaurant. Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse. That's the name of it. Big ass, really honky tonk, rock and roll Santa Claus. Now, if you think I'm going to let somebody cook me some food at a place called the Big Ass Honky Tonk Rock and Roll Steakhouse, and I'm going to let them fix my black ass a plate, think again. But moving forward, Charlotte tweeted, Kid Rock grew up in a wealthy white family and never wanted for anything, but has built a career pretending he's trailer trash like me to sell records. Oprah was born to a single black teen mother in the South and is a self-made billionaire who lifts up others. And that's that. That's literally what her tweet said. So I feel like that was a perfect summary of all the feelings involved in that headline. Kid Rock, shove it, because we're not even interested in what you have to say. And honestly, now we know that Oprah is a woman of class and fortitude, okay?
Come on.
But I believe that if they were to step out in the street and get hood with it, Oprah would win that fight. I also want to give a shout out to Timberland, who tweeted a video clip of a remix that he did.
Oh man, I saw that.
I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. Crazy. And Timberland is not hard to find. Neither is his Twitter account. It's literally his name, and that's an A, not an ER, which is what all of you need to remember. That's what that is in Timberland. Okay. And so look it up, see it for yourself. I'm not even going to play it on the show. It's really something that you will appreciate even more if you seek it out.
I love how much he loves music. You see how he was so into it.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And he breathes it.
Yeah. It was incredible to breathe new life also into certain sections of the vocals of that song. Mm. With the beat that he put behind that, it made her vocals sound totally different. Mm. And they're already, I mean, it's Whitney Houston in her prime, so it's an impeccably clean vocal. But the way he was able to like open them up, it makes it feel different. To that beat. So Timberland gave a lot to music.
He sure has.
So that's all I got for the tweets.
So this week's episode is a Dustin Ross takeover.
Yeah.
It's a wild card episode. So Dustin Ross, go ahead and take it away and tell us what we're talking about today.
So it's a wild card episode that I actually had produced previously, where we were going to have a really cool conversation that we're probably going to have at some point in the future. So I ain't going to tell y'all what it was. I already told Friend. You wasn't here yet.
Damn.
But that's the only reason you don't know. But I'm not going to tell y'all. What we are going to talk about this week is something that I did not debrief Fran and Asante on, so we're going cold into this. But it's a headline that surfaced today that I just felt like we have to talk about, because I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
I am really scared.
And I'm excited.
Lenny, can we light the blunt in here?
It's not even y'all see.
We need to dim the lights.
So according to, you name the media outlet, they've all reported on this today, from People to Entertainment Tonight to The Shade Room to everything. But the
get Asante's face.
The source that we're going to use is from, I'll set it up first and then we'll go to the source when I tell you the quote.
Okay.
So Billy Dee Williams is doing press today relative to his reprisal of the role as Lando Calrissian in Star Wars. It's a big difference, and I don't want Tatiana and them cussing me out from For All Nerds. So anyway, he's been doing the press rounds about his reprisal of this role. It's a big deal. It's an iconic role in the Star Wars franchise. People are really excited to see him back in those shoes. And plus, Billy Dee Williams has been out here forever. He's a legend, an iconic actor.
Yeah. The Star Trek was on forever.
Yes, and he played that role in the 1980s. Speaking of the 80s, he's 82 years old. Okay.
Wow.
He looks amazing.
Today, so not only are people discussing that, but he did an interview with Esquire magazine where he came out as gender fluid. Look at your faces. Look at Fran's face. Billy Dee Williams, I'm going to give you the quote and then we're going to emote. So check it out.
I'm loving that.
This is from outmagazine.com.
I'm so glad we went in cold.
I'm trying to tell you, because Billy Dee, you know. So anyway, according to Out Magazine, there was a quote in his Esquire magazine interview where he was talking about his reprisal of that role in Star Wars. And he said that, I say himself and I say herself because I also see myself as feminine as well as masculine. I'm a very soft person. I'm not afraid to show that side of myself. I've never tried to be anything except myself, Williams said. I think of myself as a relatively colorful character who doesn't take himself or herself too seriously.
Wow.
So you know how normally I say out of the mouths of babes? Mm-hmm. This is like the opposite. It's out of the mouths of old people. I could not believe, and you see the shock on your face. Like,
yeah, because Billy D. Williams, you know?
Hey, let's just go ahead
like
and unpack this.
Like this iconic black sex symbol soap that opera. Like all our moms and aunts of
grandmama, great aunt, hell, uncles, granddaddies,
right.
Several people were, like you said, friend, Billy D. Williams is an iconic, not just actor or black worker in the arts,
mm-hmm.
but he was a sex symbol, okay? Something that many people qualified as the picture of black masculinity, of black sexy, black male
Ooh,
sexiness.
Look at that.
All of those things. And I think that he was most appealing to a demographic of people who have had difficulty understanding the concept of gender identity,
mm-hmm.
Difficulty embracing younger people in their families, some of their children, some of their grandchildren, who have come forward with certain gender identities or gender identities that may not be in alignment with what they were perceived to have been, all these things. And they have struggled. It's been noted that several people of a certain age have struggled with certain concepts when it came to things like that. And so Billy D. Williams having this conversation, I think, is huge.
Massive.
Because it's going to open up a dialogue about so many other things besides simply gender identity. Not simply, but only, I should say, gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to force a lot of people who don't even want to go there in conversation. They're normally on their Chris Brown. I don't want to go there. They don't want to go there in conversation, but now they're going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it is incredible to see this door open in conversation in black families and black households. Billy D. Williams meant a lot to a lot of people, but especially to black people, black Americans. And this is going to start a very important conversation amongst people who haven't talked about this. I think it is extremely noteworthy because for so long, people have attributed gender identity, conversations surrounding it to younger people, to new ideas and new theories and even science, and to just a new way of thinking that has strayed from what was sensible or what was considered normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that no more. I think that these things were in existence and they may not have been able to be...
They've been given the language.
Thank you, friend. They've mm-hmm. been given the language. They can articulate those feelings in a way now that they were unable to do before. And I also think it is hilarious that Billy D. Williams was like, I ain't going another day. That nigga 82 years old.
That's awesome.
Right. And Billy D. Williams was like, you know what?
Now's the time.
Now's the time.
His Frank and
That's
Grace.
What I love when they do. Have you seen on Twitter and Tumblr, like, the photo shoots that have gone viral of, like, old gay men together or
yeah.
like trans mm-hmm. couples mm-hmm. and or just trans single people, and just showing that this isn't, like Dustin said, this isn't a thing where like these young kids are just coming up with things. You know, you hear it all the time. We're like, oh, these young kids are just making this stuff up.
Yeah.
All these labels.
Well, what you got to say about Billy D?
Billy D.
What you got to say about Billy D? Grandmama, you know what I'm saying? To all everybody, this is for everybody that got kicked out of their grandmama's house.
Oh, man.
Everybody that got questioned last week on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Everybody who's been ostracized. This is it.
I wonder how that generation in particular is going to process this.
I wonder if it's even, so you see why I thought this was fascinating
of
and
course.
Something worthy of discussion on our show.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I never thought in a million years that I would see this. This is someone who, think about the Colt 40 for the legendary work that he did
Mahogany.
With the Colt 45 brand. Think about all those commercials that further pushed the narrative of him being the epitome and the pinnacle of black male sexiness, which even though we know that now he is completely gender fluid, he her, whatever.
I know the hoteps are going to say this is part of the agenda.
You know they are, Pastor Troy.
And they're going to keep listening because they probably think I'm cute. But I think that this is just an incredible conversation to have. And I think that now it just begs so many questions. Like, does it negate the work that he did and the things that he did that affirmed him as that sex symbol? It don't to me.
Hell no.
That was the form that we were looking at. That was the presentation that Billy chose, mm-hmm. and that was the impact of Billy's work. This is fascinating.
It absolutely mm-hmm. is.
Did you ever think that we would discuss something like this?
You know, when you told me earlier that you had a Billy D. Williams headline that I would never guess,
you literally never would have guessed.
I was like, what? Did he buy a Bitcoin? I was like, trying to figure out what would be so shocking with an 82-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. And is he going to play basketball? Is he going to have to play in the NBA or something at 82?
Is he coming out with an album? He's dropping a single with Future.
I just can't believe it. And I think that it's going to literally force so many conversations to be had.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it takes someone of this status mm-hmm. to make, which is sad, you know, that somebody would be more impacted by a celebrity they grew up on than right. their child or their nephew or their grandkid coming out to them or having these types of discussions. Some people are ruled by celebrity and worship it. So I am curious what discussions are going to be sparked in that generation where they're in their 80s and 70s and, you know, he's like their peer.
You know when it's really going to get good? When they start talking about the difference between gender identity and sexuality. Because right. mind you,
oh my God.
We don't know. Billy ain't said shit about
nothing about it.
Any type of sexuality.
Right.
Billy just said, I'm gender fluid. I refer to myself as himself and herself, depending on my mood. You know what I'm saying? So now they have to explain. This has to be explained as an idea to people who don't have any understanding of it. And it also, this is the best part.
This is so good. It forces
the discussion of the difference between gender identity and sexuality. They don't want to call Billy D. Williams gay. So saying that Billy D. Williams is gender fluid is going to eat them alive, but it's also going to force their hand in learning and accepting mm-hmm. the difference between gender and sexuality and what it even means. This is good, y'all. I'm telling you, like, I never thought that this would happen. And I'm so excited to see a lot of people come to the light when it comes to certain things, just as far as understanding the existence of certain shit.
And I love it because I bet a lot of his appeal back in the day, even without people acknowledging mm-hmm. it, was his ability to be fluid with, remember even the clothing mm-hmm. he would wear.
A lot of silks
and the shirt open. Mm-hmm.
Blousy.
Yeah. And uh-huh. just the, there was a touch of, obviously 2020 is hindsight, but there was always a touch of femininity.
He used to dress like Offset.
There was a beauty in Billy D, you know what I mean?
Billy D. Williams used to dress like the Migos. Let's call it what it is. Billy D. Williams used to dress like Offset.
I always say it, people that are gender fluid, to me, I love how they can play with whatever wants to come out on whatever day, and that makes them so appealing because it's like this fearlessness, you know, like they just step into what needs to be stepped into. And I bet you that's what attracted so many people, but nobody would maybe admit that.
Nobody would admit it. Like, this is just incredible to me, and I hope that it makes it easier for some people now. I hope that the forced realization of this, of gender identity, period, mm-hmm. I hope that it makes it easier for some people when it comes to their relationships with their family, with their older family. All of you pastors who be sneaking watching Mahogany and drinking Coke 45 and all of that, now y'all have to understand who this person is. Y'all have to understand what gender identity means. Y'all have to make it easier for people who also have a different gender identity than you may want to accept. Fuck acceptance. All of that shit is just out the water. It's in your face now.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm also excited at how many people in that generation feel liberated by this.
Oh my God. I see so many people people. Remember when Jennifer Lewis was on The Breakfast Club?
Yep.
And she got off that chair. She said, shit, you ain't said nothing but a word, Negro. I think I think Billy Dee Williams was sitting back watching TV and seeing things, you know, on the news and seeing conversations. And Billy Dee Williams had Billy Dee Williams moment of, shit, y'all ain't said nothing but a word. And and that Esquire conversation, they probably was sipping some Martell or some hood, some ghetto brown liquor. And just, you know, Billy got the license.
Is he on social media?
Probably.
I wonder.
Probably. Look, Billy's progressive. So there's probably an Insta and a Finsta. I'm just so excited about this. How do you feel about this, Asante?
I mean, you're bringing up a lot of great points and things that are interesting to me too, as far as like the older generation. Because he can't be the only one. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's like
not.
How many other people were out there struggling with that, and how were those conversations either started, if they were started, like, you know, how did someone talk like that if they didn't have the language back in the day? Like, you know, and how do you reconcile that now? So it's like Billy D's come to terms with it, but then what if you're one of those people that still, because, you know, there are a lot of people that talk all that shit and like, oh, this is some new shit. So what if you're one of those people that don't know how to come to terms with it because you're so.
And go home and paint their nails.
Yeah, because you're so programmed.
While they're shitting in the bathroom. You scared to accept gender identity, and you dogging people out, okay, publicly casting them away from your churches and all that shit, and then going home sitting on the toilet shitting, the only private time you get, putting Theon's number 5 on your fingernail. I can't. Like, I don't just, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
anything. No. But it just really makes me wonder how many more people are going to come forward, because I hope it was a situation where it was like, you know, Auntie Jennifer done pulled it out, and now Billy Dee come in, and it's going to be droves of people being like, well, shit. And then everybody's family kind of starts to like restructure and say, oh, well, why am I putting my kids out? Because, you know, it's like, why are you putting your child out? Like, there are just so many questions that I never thought I would be able to get answered from the Black community. But hopefully this is going to be a step towards getting a lot of those questions either answered or even deleted from the roster. Because I still just don't understand why people, when they don't understand something, they reject it. And so Billy Dee is like, you can't reject him or her. So you just have to accept it. So I wonder how those people are going to process that and give that back to the world.
This is incredible.
Huge.
Now.
Ain't that crazy?
I'm about to spend so much time looking at archived photos and just.
I know, right? And looking back, like,
just digging deep so you can see, like, just watch. I don't know. So you can maybe look for things that maybe subtle clues that would have, you know, kind of lent themselves to that sort of realization.
Yeah, I would love to see if he's going to have some kind of in-depth interview or not. Or maybe this is all he wanted to say. I'm curious.
I would totally pull a Beyonce. I would totally pull a Beyonce and this would be it.
This
I wouldn't
would
say
be
nothing
it.
Else about it.
I would love to. I was gonna say, like, not maybe not Red Table Talk, but something like that, you know, where
Burgundy
he sits.
Burgundy Table Talk for older people. Maroon Table Talk. What's another color old people love?
I do feel watch Oprah, like, seize this opportunity and sit with him, because I think that would be pretty good.
Billy, you've got to come talk to me. I can't wait. This is amazing. I cannot believe it. And I just, like I said, I know I don't want to beat the hell out of a dead horse, but I just hope that this makes it easier.
Yeah.
I hope it makes it easier for people, because it is a very real thing to be shunned from your family, to be excommunicated from your family, from people who you grew up, you know, as close with, like you were family, all based on things like gender identity, all based on people's association of gender identity with sexuality when they are completely independent of one another.
Right.
And I think that this is going to force an education. It's like a swift kick in the ass of education for a lot of people. This enlightenment will lend itself to making the path easier for the people that come after you. And I don't know what kind of cold-hearted ice water running through your veins, you know, just cold, you know, evil world we live in, people y'all are. But I want things to be better for those that come after me.
For sure. I do.
I got younger family members and shit that I want to be, to live in a world where they're free of certain worries, okay? And that judgment that goes all across the spectrum real quick, it's not just for people who are LGBTQI, hop or whatever the rest of the letters are. You know what I'm saying? This applies to people who simply make different life choices. There are people who I know personally who have been ostracized for playing a sport that doesn't identify with what people think their gender, you know, is in alignment
1,000%.
with. shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like this sort of, these thoughts that this will encourage and spur and spawn in people, in old people specifically, is going to affect the way that they treat everybody around them. It's going to affect the way that they treat people that they meet in the future. And sometimes it has to hit close to home. And for all, it's a lot of people, it's a lot of old hoes that's still on the earth. It's a lot of people was hoes back when Billy D. Williams was popular. You know what I'm saying? And so they still, you don't necessarily have to, like, my microwave don't have to ding no more for me to know that it once used to heat up.
Oh,
so
wow.
You could have been a hoe back in the day, you know what I'm saying, and still have an interest in hoe matters. And so something like this, someone who was appealing to you in your hoe days, this will make you think now.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, that's the most impactful part. It's like, look how much you love him, how much you were inspired by him, how his work made you feel before mm-hmm. you knew any of this, you know, and the fact that that literally does not change unless you decide that it suddenly will, which
it
is,
will, it was all a lie,
which is, would be, you know, you shifting your perception because you want to shift it. But in reality, at the core of who this person is, you love them for everything yeah. they represented. And that's what's going to be interesting for people to have to resolve.
And now we know why his character was so hard on Mahogany. As far as like her image and shit, the disagreement. Billy knew. Billy,
oh my
no.
God.
You wearing that. I'm telling you, that's what you need. So it's just fun. We're going to have a little fun with this. But like, because this is something.
I mean, you're right.
I'm fascinated.
I was going to say that must be why his character's name was so damn fancy. Calrissian is like always like a Calrissian. His character's name was Lando Calrissian, and he also, just a small random fact, apparently he's going to, since he was reprising his role in this Rise of the Skywalker movie that I guess came out this year, it marked one of the longest intervals between on-screen portrayals of a character by the same actor in American history, because he's done this movie for years. So he was in the 1980 movie, the 83 movie, and then took a long-ass break from the Star Wars franchise, because it took a long-ass break, and then he was back in like 2018 as the dude. Or 2019. So it's like he went this long ass period of time and then came back to play the same person.
That's dope.
Changed the game.
I'm excited. Thank you, Dustin. This is a good headline.
No problem. I just, like I said, and I know
we love
I don't
you,
keep
talking.
Yes, for real. Code 45 forever.
I remember those.
You remember that?
Yes.
Them Code 45 commercials were, they were iconic.
Iconic.
Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Ooh. That's the episode title.
So that's it, you guys. Quick discussion in
I
and
love
out.
It. In
but
and
I just
out.
Wanted to talk about BBW. It because it literally is the hottest of the buttons that were being pressed today.
Bruh.
Damn.
Okay.
Like you said, I never.
Shit.
I can't take you.
Ooh, too hot in the hot tub.
Take
you hear
me? To the general hospital.
I love it. I love it. So thanks for talking about it, you guys.
Thanks for bringing that in.
Mm-hmm.
That was
check
good.
On your grandmamas, y'all.
Mucho informative.
Have this convo with your grandmas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Your grandpas. I'm curious.
Check a pulse.
So let's bring in the wind chimes. So you guys know that I've been talking about my move for the past couple of weeks.
Yes. Shout out to your move.
Shout out to my move. I'm so happy. I had my first girls' night last night.
Okay.
Ooh.
Cheska Lee, Jade, and Crystal came to my house.
Okay.
And we ate snacks and laid on my Moroccan rug.
Ooh. Oh, yes, that rug.
Yes, that yes. I finally opened. I had it folded up because I was like, nope, I can't open it. Something told me to wait and hold it for a very special place.
Yeah.
And this is that place. And it looks beautiful. And so it was a pleasure to unroll it straight from North Africa. And then have my sisters eating snacks on it.
Wow.
Is that not what life is
lovely.
About?
Lovely. Yo, rug battle roll.
Talk about christening the crib.
Man, it was such a pleasure to just kind of show them how I curate energy, because they were like, Fran, this is so you. They were like floating. Just beautiful.
Yeah.
I can tell that my home is going to be like a really important safe haven for all of us. So that makes me very happy.
Oh, I can't
and
wait.
I cannot wait.
I can't wait to cross the boundary, the threshold.
I'm dying for y'all to get. Look at Dustin's face.
I'm just, you know.
I'm like just so excited. But so I ordered my mattress. Did I tell you guys about this mattress?
Yeah, you was talking about it.
So it's called Avocado. I know you're not surprised at all.
And allergic to the damn mattress.
And it's a certified organic mattress, you guys. It's handmade.
Mm.
Are you kidding me? It's amazing. So when I was looking for mattresses, I knew that I wanted something, of course, that was like eco-friendly, a little more health conscious. Very similar to the conversation we've had on this show about the tampons. Remember how mm-hmm. the cotton, the things that crops are sprayed with, mm-hmm. those stay in the cotton, how it affects our bodies. Well, the thing is,
you don't there's... need no pesticides in your pusticides.
In your pusticides.
Pesticides on the sides of my pusticides.
You are so silly. But think about it. Those same crops are also used in our mattresses. So that's while true, tampons, that's a couple hours a day, a couple days out of the week, your mattress is a daily thing okay. that you are sleeping on day in, day out for
hours.
Years. Yep. You know, I've had my mattress, the one that I just threw out for what? 8-7 years?
Yeah.
So that's a long ass time, you know? So it was time to get, I think you're supposed to change it every 10 years. Like 8 to 10 years is what's suggested.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Depending
supposedly.
On your hip bones.
So I was like,
putting dents in the mattress.
So I was like, let me do my research and see if I can find a health conscious mattress. Like Dustin said, it doesn't have pesticides for my pusticides. And.
Woo, Lord. I'm sorry, y'all.
But also one that's affordable. Because the thing is, a lot of these green, more eco-friendly, health-conscious mattresses are expensive as hell as well. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really looking to pay $5,000, $4,000 for a mattress. It's just not really there yet.
Okay.
So I found one. It's called, like I said, Avocado. The website is avocadogreenmattress.com. Y'all should have seen me. I was literally on YouTube watching... There are YouTubers that review mattresses for a living. I don't know why what? I never fell into that corner of YouTube.
You should, since you sleep.
And it was fascinating. They were like, really? That's their thing. They can break down the science of the damn mattress.
Oh, wow.
Everything from the thickness to the foam to the quality to why they use this material to if you weigh under 160 pounds, you should get the one that has the foam or you should get the one with the coils. Like, they just break everything down. It was so fascinating. I was so excited. And so I realized through that information that the Avocado one was the best for me.
Mm.
I will say one YouTube channel did say if you weigh like under 150 pounds, it might not be as comfortable because your body Ooh. Stays at the top layers of the foam. But if you weigh above that, which is hello, it's more comfortable because of the way your body will sink down. You will feel more of the layers of how
like
it's
the
made.
The pit in the avocado.
You'll meet the pit of the avocado. Yeah. So it's better for that. So, you know, things like that that I guess I never considered.
Right.
Like, who thinks about
right.
that? That a mattress will feel different based on how much the person laying on it weighs.
Something and that since you're not one, that's why you didn't think about that.
So that's the one that I picked. Maya has one too, which is
okay.
pretty cool. Yeah. And it's so comfortable. It's a medium firm. So it depends. I know some people like their beds plushy. Some people like them a little harder. I prefer something in the middle.
Yeah.
They also sell, you know, those toppers
mm-hmm.
that if you
so
need.
So you got to replace the whole mattress.
Well, no, it's the topper that you put on it so that just in case maybe when you do lay on it, it's a little too firm.
Yeah.
Then it'll kind of give you some plushiness and then maybe you want the firmness. At least you have the option and can kind of switch between them. So I actually got both. I got the mattress and the topper just to kind of feel out, you know, which one my body responds mm-hmm. to best. So I'm going to kind of play around with that. But I wanted to say that when I was reading on the website, it's saying that a certified organic mattress is better for you and the planet. They say Avocado Green Mattress is the most popular organic and natural brand in the United States with more than 10,000 five-star customer reviews.
Mm.
10,000. That sold
wow.
me. Aside from the YouTubers that really were jumping on the bed and really sold me. But it says they're also the highest independently rated mattress from 2018-2019. It's affordable, sustainability, and obviously social responsibility because of how the cotton is sourced. It's fair trade. The people working on the mattresses are all well paid. the factories, you know, like everything is just so conscious. And I just love the idea of laying on a mattress that is not only good for me, but good for everyone that worked on it. You know, like ecosystem, my favorite
word. It
really
helps you sleep better at night.
It literally helps you sleep better at night, knowing that you are sleeping on something that everyone that was a part of it is happy to be a part of and taken care of for being a part of it. So,
wow. Every fiber of your bed has been handled with care.
Everything. Don't you feel like you'd sleep in love?
Yes.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds so blessed. And the fact that it's handmade. So it's not this like mass-made product. It's a handmade, literally made with love product. Made with love in every way. So, like I said, it has tons of certifications. It even has organic latex. I was like, what? I didn't know that was a thing. Your face, Asante. Oh, is that a thing? Organic wool, which I love. And it's from a co-op collective in India. That's where it comes from. It's obviously wool is a natural renewable resource. It's breathable, odor resistant. One thing that everyone that reviewed the bed said that if you're someone who gets really hot, I know that happens to a lot of people. You get hot in your sleep. It has like a cooling effect, which I think is really nice. I do tend to get like really hot. They even have a vegan option for those of you who are vegan.
Avocado not vegan?
No, I didn't heard of wetting the bed. But you motherfuckers is eating the bed?
For those of you who obviously do not want animal byproducts in any way, so you would not want a bed that has wool, they also have one that doesn't have wool in it.
They don't want no leather bed. It's vegan friendly. But so, what if I'm freaky? I can't be a freaky vegan. The hell I'm supposed to whip you with? What do freaky vegans whip each other with? Never mind. It's a whole other. That's a whole other conversation.
And then I'm over here about the fake answer.
So it's non-toxic certified, which we mentioned about the
like me
pesticides.
I'm not toxic.
Now, you know how most mattresses are glued? This one is tufted. So the layers of the mattress are skillfully tufted by hand with long steel tufting needles, cotton straps. They do not use any solvent-based chemical adhesives or water-based chemical adhesives. I mean, it's just so well thought out.
Damn, you could smoke this bed.
There's no polyester cover. What else? It's tested to be harmless. Obviously, no animals are injured in making this, so cruelty-free. Just amazing. Amazing for your back. I've read that it has, I'm someone that has had back problems for the past couple of years. And apparently, the firmer your mattress is, the better it is for your spinal alignment and just your back health and lower back. Which is funny, because I never would have assumed that. Same. I would have thought, oh, my back hurts. I need something a little softer. But the firmness is actually what you need to keep you in alignment. So they call it the best ergonomic support system available for you is getting a firm one. So that's why I kind of wanted to buy that one. It's, you know, it contours to your body's natural curves and your pressure point reliefs, all those things.
Okay, sure.
Oh, and the last thing it said is it improves with weight distribution. With a plushy one, you literally just sink in to the floor, so it doesn't actually help you in any way. What else
it's
is
like
it?
A beanbag bed.
Right, literally.
That sounds fun,
I mean,
though.
That would be ideal, but I know it ain't healthy.
Sounds fun, though.
So I just wanted to kind of put that into the ether, because I know that there are some people like me that are out here trying to live as sustainable as possible. I know it's not possible to do it completely. Like, I never try to put that kind of pressure on myself. Like, every single thing in my life has to be organic. I'd have to move to a shack in the middle of nowhere to sustain that, and it's just not going to happen.
Now we are talking about friend. You might hit us one day like, fuck it, y'all. Okay.
Might get a letter in the
mail. I try my best. I try in every little way.
You make your choices where you can.
I make my choices where I can, where it makes sense, you know, because I still do live in a city and I still have to get around and do things and survive out here. But I did think that the mattress, like I said, being that we sleep on it day in and day out, was just the perfect choice. Wanted to support it. And then I wanted to put it out there for those of you who may be looking for the same thing.
Right.
A green mattress. So avocado.
Is it green in color?
No, but the logo is.
That's cute.
Yeah. And it's a cute mattress. So it's avocado greenmattress.com. If you want more information, they have really good articles even on the website. There's one that says 12 reasons to go organic with avocado, and it breaks down all the reasons and how the even the emotional benefits, the literal health benefits, like it breaks down all the things, even the science of the mattress like they do on YouTube, in case you're interested. So wanted to put that out there. That's it for this week's wellness segment.
Fran, what did you say the name of the URL of the website is?
AvocadoGreenMattress.com.
Now sing it in an avocado tone. Say it with the avocado accent.
What's an avocado tone?
You know it.
Avocado green mattress.
Avocado.
Avocado green mattress. Avocado.
You know how big you'd be on Spotify.
Who, me?
Well, that does it for the wellness segment.
Actually, that's the perfect segue, Sante. Why don't you take us into the music, man?
I'm going to take the avocado out of my damn mouth because I felt like I was losing it. Welcome. It is now time for the Music Man segment. There has been crazy, crazy, crazy things happening in music. Like we talked about last week, Tinashe's back with her new project. She's coming out with
and
the video.
Killing it.
She's coming out with the visual for Cash Race. There's a teaser that's out. It's about 50 seconds. Very colorful. Love that track. I'm loving Tinashe this season. So make sure you check her out. It's also the season of the comeback. Maybe the random judge of whatever show comeback. I want to talk to you guys about something that is very near and dear to my heart. It is called Staying Power.
Nice.
Last week we talked about Hits That Stick, you know. Shout out to Dustin Ross. and speaking of Hits That Stick, I think a couple times we might have mentioned Pussycat Dolls. I was randomly
react like that.
They just really burned my biscuits. In general, like I ain't never really understood. I ain't trying to talk about nobody,
please,
but I ain't never really understood the purpose of the Pussycat Dolls in general, as a whole, as a unit. Am I supposed to take this seriously? Is this a touring show? Are y'all a music group? I've never gotten it. I don't think it was for me to get, so I'm fine with that.
But you're excited about Jocelyn.
What, her cabaret? Because I'm used to things that don't make sense coming from Jocelyn.
Touché.
But from the Pussycat Dolls, which is something that I'm supposed to take seriously, I just ain't never understood it. And then I also want to say this. Everybody always, because since they announced this reunion or whatever, everybody's been in this big conversation. Oh, the PCD.
They're coming back.
They're doing a
all
reunion
of them,
tour
even
in
the
U-
ones that were beefing.
Let me get there. They're doing a reunion tour in the UK without Melody, who's also
jacked
the
up.
Black
they still
one.
Beefing.
Well, she said no. She did an interview and she said, you know what? Everybody keeps asking why I won't go back. She said, I'm a singer. She's like, I've always been a singer. She said,
mean?
And there, our songs are what they are. She said, and after asking constantly to be allowed to sing and never getting my turn, she said, I just don't feel like there's anything for me to go back to. I'm not a dancer. I'm a singer.
Ooh, I mean, hey.
Now, here's the other point, my final point.
Come on.
I'm sick of the fucking Pussycat Dolls.
This is so funny for the opening.
Miss me with that conversation about why Nicole never made it as a solo artist. I'm going to tell you why she never made it as a solo artist.
So fucking funny. I'm
Nicole Scherzinger has a last name that no one could understand, pronounce, recognize, nothing.
Nicole Scherzy.
And I'm going to tell you the second thing. Nicole, they were giving her music that made her look more mature than the music that she was making. Mm. As a solo artist, Nicole looks younger in the group, and she has that pop appeal, which is why I think they reach certain heights. When you take her and put her by herself, she looks more mature, and that's not a bad thing. That just means you need to make a different kind of music that goes with that. Because the talent is there. She can sing her ass off. She can dance. She's gorgeous. You know what I'm saying? They played her. And that's why she never made it as a solo artist. And that's all I got to say.
Well, that was pretty much the
headline
that they were doing.
Dog.
So they were doing a reunion and Melody's not invited.
That's crazy.
But they did. They've done their opening performance. They performed on X Factor UK. So that was like their opening welcome back, like we're back performance.
I couldn't even tell you who the other girls are. I remember the
redhead.
Do you
remember when Snoop Dogg said all their names in the song?
No.
I can't say it right now because, of course, I'm blanking. But in Buttons, there was a part where he said all their names. He's like, Melody, you telling me? Like, I just remember he said her name last. And I'm like, oh, the black girl. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember the redhead.
Yeah. And there's two redheads now?
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if one of them had always been redhead. And I just ain't know. I was a little fucked up because I watched the comeback performance. And it was kind of cute. It was cool. Pussycat Dolls, they're cool. It was just interesting to me. There are headlines that are out. I should have pulled up the pictures first. They're being slammed for their nearly naked costumes.
What?
Yeah, that was just something completely unrelated. Like, but it's the, you know, we're talking about stand power. I'm like, if you look good, flaunt that shit. But Pussycat Dolls came back and performed. Recently, Gwen Stefani performed like all of her old hits.
Ooh.
She did Holla Back Girl,
oh, no.
One of the other songs I can't remember right now. And then Eve came out and they did not Let Me Blow Your Mind, but the other one, Rich Girl.
Oh, shit.
So it was just interesting to see all these people kind of come back to do things. So I thought to myself,
I'm here for it.
For what?
For all the comebacks.
The Pussycat Dolls?
No, I mean like all the comebacks.
Oh, me too.
Just
I am too. In general, yeah.
I think it's cool.
Can I just say?
Too, for real, I love it. Because I want to hear more from... Who don't want to hear more music from people
who
whose music
you
love?
Who would you want to see come back?
Damn, friend.
Was that your question?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I had one more like example, but go on. We can just do it now.
What's
but,
your example?
No, not example, but like how Gwen Stefani came back. I forgot what it was. What is she a judge on? Like...
The Voice.
The Voice.
So that's what she performed on. So it's like people, they come back and they do these reunions or their performances and these medleys. But the last person I was going to say, oop, they slipped my mind just again that quick. But somebody else performed recently. They're Ocean. They're like a judge on the show. But I think it's kind of cool and fun that people do that because it kind of shows the crowd like, yeah, bitch, I do know what I'm talking about because, you know, I did have all these hits back in the day. Because Gwen Stefani looks different and her swag is completely different.
Is but, it?
Yeah, her swag is different to me. Like, you know, she with Blake Shelton, I think, you know, so she like that whole...
God.
Yeah, so, because when I was watching her and Eve do Rich Girl, I'm like, oh, okay, that mean Let Me Blow Your Mind coming up next, even though that was Eve's song, but it did not because, you know, Gwen Stefani's not that girl no more, which, great. Don't pretend
Eve
you still
probably
are.
Refused to perform it. Her funny acting ass.
She might have.
You know, she went over to London and got paid and was like,
yeah, both of them.
I ain't doing that shit no more.
I don't need to do that.
She be putting Fenty Beauty on her paw prints and everything. Like she ain't, she ain't with the shit.
Wait, legit?
Nah, I'm just talking
shit. Oh, I was like, you can't see them?
Okay, so yeah, Gwen Stefani came back. Pussycat Dolls came back together. And then Adrian and the other girls came back
the
and
Cheetah
did.
The Cheetah Girls?
No, they did a 3LW on The Real.
Who, was Naturi there?
No, I'm just fucking with y'all. That shit didn't happen.
You are nah. just...
I had to pull a Dustin.
Naturi no, so... don't do them like she did Lala on Power. If they keep fucking with her.
So, yes, that... So
a gat out on the set of The Real is really going to be The Real
How
that
Lala
day.
How Lala going to post that picture of her dead? Talk about... This is... How you put most of the spoilers?
She didn't post
Yo,
that.
Keisha
posted that.
I didn't even watch the episode yet. I was like, great.
Low-key, now, you can say what you want about Lala's acting or whatever, but she did the hell out that death scene. She did. You talking about a slide and a look of disbelief.
Stop
and like.
It,
she was like.
I wish y'all could see the face he's making.
Them beautiful almond-shaped eyes. She was like.
One more segue before we get to the question, because you just mentioned Cheetah Girls. Do you have Disney Plus, or did you get
it? I do.
Do you have Disney Plus, or did you get
it? No, I didn't get it.
What are you watching on there? Like, are you going back down old videos?
I've only watched The Little Mermaid.
That's because, the one.
But
you
I have
a unfortunate soul.
You unfortunate. And Sebastian, another sea. Hey. No, but Verizon Wireless customers get a year free.
Can you put me on your family plan?
There's a family plan?
No, I don't know. I just said that.
Oh.
That deserves applause because we've
right?
been going through hell for Disney
hell
Plus.
Yeah.
So that's good.
And I didn't even know that. It was Crystal that was like, yeah, you get a year free. I was like, what? Let me sign up right now. And I didn't know you get Apple Music for free too.
With Verizon?
Yeah.
Damn, Verizon.
So I signed up for both.
Well, okay.
I'm going to enjoy my year.
Well, Verizon, I made a switch if y'all want to do something with the friend zone.
Legit though.
Okay.
I thought that was cool.
What an activation that could
Have
be.
Have you been watching?
Watching what?
Disney Plus on someone else's?
Yeah.
Who's? I'm just kidding. What you been watching?
Look,
I see if he was gonna answer real quick.
Well, the fucked up part was I had to think about, like,
you gotta ask
fast. Who was it?
You so rude. You gonna say why?
Like, did you want it? Look, now I'm fucked up in the game, friend. You got me.
I tried to ask.
What's
fast.
That? What was bringing down the house with Eugene Levy? What he used to say to Queen Latifah? The cool points are out the window. You got me straight tripping, boo. Anyway,
and he got nerve too because I just logged into my Hulu yesterday. I had to log back in or whatever, and it's gonna say who's watching, Dustin or Asante. I was like, nigga, you better get Fran that fucking Disney Plus mask.
Oh shit!
So Disney multiply, Disney add, subtract, divide, exponents, all that.
I love how we be having all our each other's
ecosystem.
Who's
and
watching?
It's the good one without commercials too, ain't it?
Okay.
We've been hauling this down for about literally 3 years now, right. Something like that.
Watch Hulu go into y'all's account. Like, really?
Right. Love you. I'm Hulu, you know, allegedly.
Okay. Look, shit. But yeah, let's go back to the original question before I get on my third or fourth segue. What was the question? Oh, who would you like to see do the comeback?
Who's someone you'd like to see come back? Let me see. Who would I like to
Little
see
Mo.
Come back?
That would be hot. You know what?
All for One.
Ooh.
Okay.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Yes. Super classic.
Who a group would I like to see come back?
I feel like finding BET has brought a lot of my faves
right?
back.
Total.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Because Keisha Epps, you know, Omar Epps working. And so right. her look has maintained itself. Like, she is.
And he's on This Is
well
Us
taken
now.
Taken care of. He's an wow. amazing, incredible actor.
Yeah, he's on This Is Us now. I was like, he's not a lead, but he's like up there, like a big
Keisha
role
from
on
Total
there.
Still look good. So they still got it, far as I'm concerned. And the other one is mad enough now because Centoya Brown then took her man and been all public. So she got that vitriol it'll take to, you know, be a captivating artist.
not vitriol.
You know, Pam from Total looked like she would get mad.
I saw a clip where she
Can you imagine
mad.
Being married to her and getting in an argument? What? Can't you see? What?
Stop.
Like, it'll just be a, you know.
All this nostalgia always comes up for me, especially because I think we were just talking about the Black Music Awards recently with LaToya Luckett and Ricky Smiley always host. But I was watching them, like, the older episodes.
They're Black Music Awards?
The Black Music Honors, excuse
oh,
me.
Oh, I was like, what?
I was going to be offended.
The Black Music Honors, excuse
Got
me.
You.
This is another award show that they put on in Atlanta. So praise God for that. I just love an independent award show that is like, we just going to give you all awards because we appreciate that. And a black city like Atlanta deserves to be given Black People Awards, which they do an amazing job of.
So what other black cities could they do it in?
Houston could do it one
Detroit.
Year. Detroit definitely could do
Chicago.
It.
Chicago.
Chicago. Hell, New York could do it because you could definitely do it up in the Bronx.
Miami.
Oakland.
Oakland, yes.
What's another black ass city?
St. Louis.
We said them.
Oh. Damn.
What's another one?
Orlando.
Little Rock.
Damn.
Little Rock, niggas.
Why you saying it like that?
What we want to Charlotte?
Jackson, Charlotte. Mississippi. Shit.
Shout out to NC.
Hell yeah.
Go shit. Ahead.
They got to let us host. You know, Ricky Smiley, love you to death. You're legendary. LaToya, you are a light that shines bright. Would love for you to do, you know, MC Lights part instead.
You see Spotify's start, are they going to have their own awards now?
Yes,
that's
and
amazing.
I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. Let
I
us
think
host
great.
That.
That would be dope.
We love
I
you,
would
Spotify.
Be so happy would, to host that.
And could you,
I would be ecstatic.
It'd be perfect.
Can
for
I
us,
say
literally.
This? Now that you said that, I hope it looks really like hip and different and cool and not like different, like just to be different,
I'm
but
sure.
like Spotify.
They have the budget.
The way that their like graphics and stuff looks and the way that they make things look so cool, like when they do like the, you know, what you've listened to, the rewind, like all those covers look so dope. It would be amazing to watch them do really dope like stage sets kind of tailored to artists or vibes, like that whole thing. So
baby, if
shout
I work for Spotify and they color green, I had that whole stage looking like waiting for tonight.
Oh,
heavy
that'd be
green
a dope
beams
opening
everywhere.
Segment.
Like
oh, and you know what? Speaking of J-Lo, somebody said that J-Lo, when we mentioned that song Play, it was like a Christina Milian song or she got vocals on there or something.
Mm-hmm. She'd written on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, damn. But that was real commonplace back in that time. I wonder if those situations are rectified a little more often nowadays, but who knows?
Yeah, you always hear Christina or Ashanti mm-hmm. singing on J-Lo's record.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Ashanti and staying power, that's another artist who I feel like got one more good album cycle in him. Mm. I feel like Ashanti is still in oh my God. Maya sings too?
That's true.
Maya does everything.
Listen,
wait, but I'm lying because Maya been dropping albums.
I'm people tripping. Ain't paying attention because you know she independent, so it's a little bit of a different game.
It's harder,
there.
Yeah.
But
plus that vibe.
But because we talking about,
I'm just playing. Her hair be fresh as hell. I love Maya.
You know why
she's so damn gorgeous? Because she's vegan and she pushes it off all the time, but in a very sexy and cool way, which I appreciate. But Maya, she definitely has staying power. Some of the mixtapes that she's been dropping, there are like tracks on there. She did that Fallen Reflip, like, reverb thing for herself. I thought that was the shit for an artist to take their own song and do it. It's dope when Tory Lanez does it. Like, I think it's dope that he brings the artist back on that shit. And I actually have a list of songs that I think that he could do for that since that's all he does. But I think it's dope when artists can do it themselves. Like, say, oh, yeah, this was my hit. This is how I was feeling then. But, like, this is how I'm feeling now, like, or what I would do with the record now. I think that would be a dope trend for artists to do on their own.
Hell yeah.
Like, Jagged Edge. I don't know if they still...
Jagged Edge reboot.
Listen, the catalog, I don't know if the Chops are still there. You know, it's real touch and go.
Oh, they're definitely there. I heard them singing, they were somewhere performing live, and the vocals are definitely still there.
I want to hear Silk.
Oh.
Oh, my God, yes.
There's a meeting in my bed, I can't
okay.
Do it.
Silk had lose
Girl,
control. Come on,
don't
right now.
Be late.
There's a meeting in my bed. Lose control, y'all.
Oh my God. Yo, I'm going home and playing that.
Ooh.
And yo, new apartment.
Okay.
Excuse me, condominium. Let's be crystal clear.
Okay, I correct myself every time I say that.
Life might not have been no crystal staircase, but the ones up to that new condo is.
The days today.
Ooh. Because we're talking about music, also people are hitting us up because Ryan Leslie is having a 10-year anniversary concert.
Oh, hey, neighbor.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was just a very interesting thing that's coming up in my, like, my personal, like music sphere.
Like, he keeps coming up. That's
yeah.
So funny.
Like, I think that it's super dope. I fuck with Ryan Leslie heavy, so shout out to the 10-year.
Starting off with the kiss.
Yeah. Ooh. Listen, records on records on records. Quicksand, Valentine, like I can name
Gibberish, which is the weirdest song. But
You're
still
just right
cool.
for me. He had songs with like Snoop Dogg and Loon and like Fab, like back in the day that I like really loved.
Ooh,
that made me
what?
Feel like
I'm
I was. It made me feel like I was a New Yorker beforehand. Like I'm out here bumping these records, and niggas are like, "Is this a Harlem nigga?" And I'm like, "Nope, just a nigga from Cobb County, just bumping this shit." So shout out to Ryan Leslie for the ultimate early put ons for a lot of things.
I'm playing him for my listen lately.
Hey.
Even though I haven't been listening lately, but I'm about to play it. Cause
that's cool.
You just reminded
that's
me.
That's cool. You know, one thing I love about the Music Man segment, it's a time for us all to come together. You know, we all love
and remember
music.
Remember dope shit.
And remember dope shit. There's so much music that comes out all the time, so it's kind of hard for me to talk about everything. But it's always good to take a step back into the past and remember the things that made us happy and continue to just make you twerk a little bit or, you know, whatever it does when you hear the record come on. So... that's pretty much it. Wanted to go down like a rabbit hole of comebacks and... Ooh! Friend, now what would you do? That is a record, friend. That is... Light a candle for you tonight. Come
you
on.
You know what I'm about
I
to play.
I already know it. I already know it.
Damn, the fact that you
I
caught
know,
that
I
off
know,
of 2 seconds, you are good.
Friend, play the record, friend. Friend, play that shit.
This is Ryan Leslie, Out of the Blue.
Light a candle for you tonight. Yeah. Said I reminisce over you, babe. Reminisce over you. Yeah. Listen. Should have spent more time. Been a part of your life. And made you more a part of mine. Guess it's too late now. Should have been a better friend and done my best to understand you. Still, it's hard to think that we're done, we're through. Now, what do you do? Tell me if I left you out of the blue. Would you fight back tears while your heart gets torn to pieces? Cause that's what I did when you left me.
When you left me out of the blue.
Love can feel so good and then
suddenly it's over.
Ooh, I didn't even want to start. I didn't want to play stop.
Friend. Y'all know who he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Now what would you do?
Friend.
You do.
What I tell you, I'm going to bump that later on.
Can we clap for that record?
Yes.
Production, lyrics, vocal. Just a great,
let me tell you something.
Solid record.
Next selection.
Mm.
The name.
You know how bad I want to be down? I wanted to be down.
Things worked out.
Stop
but
it.
You know what? That would have took that shit to another whole level anyway. So
listen.
Ooh. God, you know, I gotta go bump all this when I leave here.
And How It Was Supposed to Be was my other one.
And I wonder if you'll ever find out how it was supposed to be.
Ooh.
Ryan Leslie.
You know what? We having a Ryan Leslie appreciation.
Oh, you got another one?
I'm about to play How It Was Supposed to Be.
You know what? Jones. Right before you play that, you know it randomly was my song. And it was so simple, but it was like straight to the point, like fuck off.
Which one?
Promise Not to Call.
Oh, hi, yeah. Ryan Lisa Leslie. Ryan Lisa Leslie.
Ryan Leslie Jones.
Even the way he ends the song, he's like, never mind. It's just so petty. I love Ryan Leslie. But play that. Man, go ahead and play that shit, friend.
This is how it was supposed to be.
Legendary Ryan Leslie.
Fresh like the kiss of morning dew. That's how it felt that day we met and I first laid eyes on you. Yeah. It's like you walked right up on my fantasy. And then you left that day go by. Did you abandon me? Maybe it's too late. And I wonder if you'll ever find out how it was supposed to be. If you'll ever find out how it was supposed to be. Yeah. Now when I think back to the days you were mine, how I wish I could have switched.
Woo! You killing me right now.
I just have one Ryan Leslie song I'm going
to
play.
I'm like, I want to play another one.
Because I really can't find what I want to find. I'd have to go to YouTube to find it or my external hard drive. I'm just going to give you this one song because it's 2005. This is back when I was in school.
I wonder if you're about to play what I'm looking for.
You better not be looking for what I'm about to play. This is the song and this is it. And then I'm done.
This is dedicated to everybody who had a first love. Oh, oh, all mess.
Yeah.
F to the AB.
It's gotta be next selection.
Yeah.
Just rock with it. Come on.
Baby, it could be how I used to be, or maybe it could be you ain't used to me, cause it used to be the charm, but I'm early as a rooster on a farm, with a Jacob exclusive on the arm, but nothing come close to the feeling of your purse, if you love to hustle, it's like dealing on a purse, it's deeper than the dishes on the feed, just remember that the fish is in the sea, wishes they could be with me.
I've been through it, you've been through it, never wanna break up, but you're doing, nothing's working, both are hurting, you're going out and you catch yourself flirting, arguing like every weekend, to the point where you really ain't speaking, so you leave her, but it's only a matter of time for you say, girl I'm so broke, I'm down without you, girl I messed up, baby can you forgive me,
I can't stop
thinking about you, cause I was at my best when you was with me,
it's funny,
how things get rearranged, I'm left out in the rain.
I know you feel what I'm talking about.
Cause we all got somebody who used to. She used to be your number one. She used to be your only love.
That's Ryan Leslie. Fabulous.
I got another one.
Go ahead.
I'm
friend.
Sorry.
No,
you sending
friend.
Me down a rabbit hole.
Friend, I am excited and excited. Ecstatic and excited that this is happening.
Are you ready?
This is how much I love Ryan Leslie. Please.
One.
Oh.
Two. All left low, so we do it like, hey.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember this shit.
Rock with me now. Yeah.
neck selection. Same shit, different day, just ride through the city looking pretty as the usual.
What I do.
Hit the same old thing, got the name on the chain just to let them know who's
you. You ain't no so.
And they know I'm over here, so they come and find me right after they lose
what
you.
What took y'all so long?
For you niggas in the way, we can let the gun say, excuse you.
On you lanes.
At the end of the day, we just trying to find a way, and I might be a come up. Baby, you can hit your ride, but you gotta know how to do more than keep a thumb
you
up.
Rustic, girl.
It's so incredible that it ain't edible, but they know the cake's real.
Dumb,
yo, I couldn't even say, ask these other silicone niggas how I'm being fake feel.
Woo! My hero.
I was...
Ooh! See?
That's it. Yo, so many records.
I also love him because his music is like amazing to me, and I also love that like all the shit he's done for other people.
Man, like you be killing them, girl. You be
right.
Killing them.
So the Fab records are undeniable. We've already talked about the Cassie records being undeniable. There's like writers
his own records, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. His own records already hit. So it's like amazing that he like does great shit for other people still.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on we forever
love you, Ryan.
About Ryan
yes.
Leslie, man. I remember his artist. There was an artist he worked with. I don't know if these were his artists, but Corey Latif Williams. I remember this artist named Nelson. They had a song. Let me just stop. I'm sorry.
Shout out to that Ryan Leslie.
Shout out to Ryan Leslie.
Next election.
Ooh, what a time. So that is really it for this part of the Music Man segment. Now we can just do the Listen Lately. Fran, I know you got some
LSU. Like
hey, you know, now's the time to really shine, okay, with your pick.
I'll pick Dustin first.
All right, Dustin Ross. I heard you've been listening to some good shit now, some hot shit. Hot shit!
Where you hear that?
In my headphone when I just said it.
Mm. Well, I have. shout out to Fabulous' Summertime Shootout 3 album that came out.
Speaking of the devil.
Lots of dope music on there. I could go track by track, but I'm not. Shout out to The Game, who's Born to Rap album, as one of the best songs on it that I've heard this year. It's him and 21 Savage. It's a song called The Code, and I love it. The beat switches all the way through, and then it comes back to the original. It's a phenomenal piece of music. Also want to give a huge shout out to Griselda with the WWCD album. That's straight up. This is a prime example
classic.
Of people paying attention to the time. And that album dropped at the perfect time of year. It is winter New York rap music. And we all know that they've got
the dopest name too.
Oh my God.
Like,
what?
Period.
So, and they got the co-sign from Raekwon. He's doing the intro on the album again. Like, it's nice. Just,
dope.
It's amazing. So, shout out to Griselda. And also, shout out to Stephanie Mills, believe it or not.
Because yes.
Stephanie Mills was on The Breakfast Club, like, last week.
What?
She did an interview. She has a son that has special needs that wrote a book.
Oh, snap.
And he was on there rapping Tupac lyrics and shit with her. So, that was hilarious because he's so he functions at a certain level, so like he's cognizant of, you know what I'm saying, you can have conversations with him and shit. You can tell she's a really good hands-on mom, but in her interview she was dropping gems about like just her time as a singer, her experience, quote unquote beefs. Stephanie Mills is very hood.
Not beefs.
She said when her and Chaka Khan see each other, she looks at Chaka and she'd be like, hey, bitch. And she said, really?
Yes.
She said, Chaka Khan be like, what's up, ho? And then they laugh.
Yes,
at her.
I love that.
She said she loves Monica because Monica is a real nigga. She,
yes.
She was a little, I'm not going to say shady to Mary, but just because she watched what she said, but I just didn't really like her
you
disposition when she was talking about Mary.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, Stephanie Mills is a little bit ghetto, a little bit hood, and I loved it. It was a great interview. And so shout out to her. That's
Who
all
knew?
You're going to get from
she
me.
Was at the Black Music Honored last year.
Mm.
Like, I literally just watched this. And that's why when she was on the awards, Breakfast Club, I was like, damn, this is so random. But yeah, she had a great, great section there.
Stephanie Mills, baby.
Stephanie Mills. So yeah, nothing you want to play? You don't want to give us a snippet of anything?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Not a little sneak peek?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Look it up.
Well, Frangelica. Does anybody call you that?
Yes. So
you probably hate it. I will never say it again.
So nothing's worse than Franny.
She went, Franny?
Yes. I hate when people call me Franny. I don't know why. It really irritates me.
That would piss me off,
it's
too.
It's just old.
like the song say, that's not my name. Okay.
Shit. But a song came on the other day, and it was by an artist named Jean Doe.
Yeah, D-E-A-U-X.
Yeah. Kehlani and Romderful. Mm-hmm. And the song is called Anytime. Oh, as well as Empathy. There's a lot of people on this record. Yeah. But it's a record called Anytime, and it's one of those that made me turn my head and say, who is that? And I had to look it up, and now I'm going to play it for y'all. Dope, right?
Dope. Yes, that's on Empathy, right?
Mm-hmm. And it keeps going because obviously there's so many people on it. So the song goes in so many different directions. I love that. It's a dope record. Like I said, it made me turn my head like, wait, what?
What's going on? Very dope. It was
super
sexy.
Dope, right? Such a vibe. So that's Jean Doe. That's J-E-A-N. And the last name is D-E-A-U-X featuring Kehlani, Romderful, and Empathy. And the song is called Anytime.
Ram is right. That's the way that song sounded.
And that's it for me.
All right. I just want to give a quick shout out to JL Bunny, Dancing Bobby, Ariel, and Megan. They are four young women, and they make up a girl group called Good Girl.
Mm. Four little girls. Like that Tyler Perry movie.
What? We break time? Never mind. Good Girl, they have a couple songs out that I've been checking out. They dropped a song earlier this year, maybe late last year, with A Boogie. Great colors, great looking girls. And so now that I get to hear the second song from them, well, they put out a project before that, but these are the first two songs I'm being introduced to. But I've been rewatching a lot of their videos, and when I watch them kind of over and over again and get into the vibe of the song, that's kind of when I sometimes choose to share it versus just sharing it immediately. But I've been playing this song for a minute. It's called Misery, and it's by the girl group Good Girl.
Hey.
And shout out to y'all ladies. I think they're from Philly. I really, really fuck with them. They got really dope style. They each have like their own like color that they go by, kind of like real Power Rangers-esque. You know,
I'm looking them up.
Cute shit. This is Misery.
I know you can't go without it, and you keep trying to convince me that's that shit I'm talking about. Got your sister hit my phone talking about you miss me, like your whole family's against me. If they really care, they wouldn't ask me to forgive you. After all the shit you put me through, and I don't even miss you. I just gotta keep it real with you. I loved you before, not no more. It's the same old shit and I ain't with it. You should've never did it, I want you to admit it. Misery, misery lost company, and I just can't fuck with you. Your misery, misery lost company, and I just can't fuck with you.
I can't work this new damn Apple Music.
You know, can't turn the music off.
You know, the lyrics was going, and so when I was trying to get back to the screen to press pause, it just pressed on the lyric. But yeah, that's Good Girl. That's the song Misery. The video is really dope. It's really colorful. It's just shots of the four of them. I haven't seen them dance just yet. So ladies, if you're listening or someone with them is listening, I want to see you girls dance. I know y'all can. Y'all look like y'all can. And yeah, Good Girl is who I'm checking out right now. Let's see how far they go. before they turn into bad girls. No, I don't know. Yeah, that's it for Music Man
Misery.
Segment.
Misery.
Yes. Now we get to move on over to TV land. Dustin Ross, take it away.
Okay, so The Real Housewives of Atlanta is in full swing.
This week on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
That's right. Or, you know what's really funny? Do you watch Candy's YouTube channel?
No.
You don't watch Candy's YouTube?
I've seen it, but I haven't watched
it. So she does these Speak On It videos after the...
Candy?
Yeah, it's like her own personal after show. She interviews people from the show. It's great. But at the beginning of every video, she goes, "Hey, y'all, it's your girl Candy, and I'm about to speak on it." She does it every time. So shout out to those of you that watch that. Speaking of Candy, she's a member of the ensemble cast reality show Hit, The Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is currently in its 12th season. We watched episode 4 this week. Many of the antics that we know and love from that show, Cynthia's backbone popped out again.
Because her sister was there.
Packed Yovana right up at that table.
Because Mallory looked like she was ready too.
We could add so much, right? Because Mallory was calling the shit out. Mallory always does.
She brought it right back. And she let Cynthia take care of it first.
She said, like, right. Okay. But anyway, now we can add context and shit. But if you watch this show, you know what we're talking about. You also know that I want to let the record reflect now and forever. I don't like Yovana.
Same.
I don't like her on this show. And I'm speaking as a fan of a viewer of the show, of course. I don't know her as personally. But I don't like her on this show.
As far as the show goes,
she brings nothing but chaotic energy, nothing but drama and mess. And I was so happy to see Cynthia pack her up, fold her up like origami, just like she needed to at that table.
Literally signed, sealed, and delivered that ass away.
Like, really did. And the only other thing I want to address about that is that I don't like how Kenya talks to Cynthia.
Same.
How does she talk
to her? Too rough,
too aggressive,
noticed it too.
Rude. Mm. She's rude to her.
And everybody noticed it, so I'm wondering, is it, like, not that I care
is
as I'm saying
this. Is it an old rivalry?
No.
No.
Modeling days? Oh.
Yeah. And I don't want to make it, I don't want to wonder, like, is she hormonal because she just had the baby, but I don't know if it's stress from the shit she's going through with Mark, is that his name?
Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I didn't like that she did that, and it was uncalled for, and everybody noticed it. So I was like sitting there wondering, like, damn, so does
remember
this bitch
when
not
she
see
rolled that car
rails?
Window up in Cynthia's face in season, was that 9 or 8? One of them. Kenya just be doing a little bit too much sometimes, and I don't like that. I love so much about her and about her being on this show, and I want her there, but I just don't like the way she talks to Cynthia.
Right. We want you there, but not if you're doing that.
But The Real Housewives was great, and I just want to give a shout out to Portia Williams because she's being like, as transparent as a person can be reasonably on this show with the infidelity that took place in her relationship.
Are they still together?
They're back together, yeah.
Okay.
They wouldn't, but they got back
together.
Portia
has given a lot to the franchise.
She sure has. She's here. Yes. Like, she's here to stay. So, and I love her on this show.
Yes.
So, shout out to The Real Housewives of Atlanta. What I want to talk about this week is two things. Number one, Married to Medicine, really briefly. It's time to have the quiet conversation. And I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, no.
Because I watched a clip of an interview she did during a recent press run after they filmed the reunion, which they filmed, I guess, like a week ago. She did an interview with OK Magazine, and they were talking to her about shit that's going on the show. She was like, you know, it's one thing to hear, you know, negative comments from the other girls, the people who I expected on the show. But when it's your friend, your girlfriend, you know, it feels different. And I'm talking about Dr. Heavenly. We've had some conversations with Dr. Heavenly, you know, because I just some of the things she said and, you know, and whatever. And she's like, but we filmed a reunion. So you're going to see if Quad took her ass down to that reunion after filming an entire season of ignoring blatant accusations from Mariah about her trying to sleep with her sister's man, blatant disrespect from Toya about trying to cast her out of quote-unquote the group and not have let her be on the group trip, mm-hmm. blatant disrespect from Simone, mm-hmm. who's been visibly rude, haven't shown you any compassion, no care, no nothing, and you decide to take your egghead ass down to the reunion and argue with Heavenly, a person who has from day one of this season and last been completely in your corner, mm-hmm. argued on your behalf, mm-hmm. fought for you to even be here, been your biggest supporter in the press and all the interviews and all the media, and you decided to do what? Address what with her at the reunion? When you sit across from bitches that have completely disrespected your mere existence, even on this show. If she did that, I'm telling you now, it's going to be a whole new dusting when it comes to Quiet on Married to Medicine on this here mic. The second thing I want to talk about, because that's it for me. It ain't even an open door. The second thing I want to talk about, Love and Marriage Huntsville.
Oh! Okay, so before you talk, can I just say, I did not watch this season. I don't remember what episode it was, but it was Love and Marriage Huntsville. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll dial back to Quad before you get into Love and Marriage Huntsville. I love Quad. I hope that it does not come to that. But I do wish that this was Quad's last season because I see so much greater for Quad. Like, she's doing really well with Sister
Circle. So you want her to leave this show?
Yeah, I don't feel like she needs to stay. And it's not that I want Quad gone, but I feel like... I don't feel like she doesn't need this show, but I feel like she should keep pushing in other directions, and I feel like she's doing really good doing that, as opposed to her staying on and rectifying why she's there, not, you know, being with a doctor and having
to answer that. She missed a huge opportunity this whole season in the way that she filmed. Let's just call it what it is.
Absolutely.
She missed a huge opportunity.
Absolutely.
She's the first person who was a part of this cast that divorced her husband. Okay, mm-hmm. So she was no longer technically married to medicine, which don't mean shit to me about her being on the show, because you have whole Housewives franchises where they literally cast single women.
Right.
So you never have to be, you have integrity to the namesake of the show. However, Quad could have taken that and like ran with it, had them film her down at Sister Circle, film her dating, film her out on the town with her girls, inviting the cast members to go out and like hang out, being social, new on the dating scene,
right?
All your other endeavors. I told y'all, I was walking past the hotel the other day on 36th Street and she was on TV on Access Hollywood out in LA cooking with Mario Lopez at the Grove, cooking recipes out of her cookbook. So you should be showing that shit on the show.
Right.
Quad sat in this whole season and was deaf and mute, didn't say nothing on the camera, literally was in the scenes while they were having conversations about her. She just sat. I don't know if that was her way of trying to stay out of like the mess, but your silence, that's all that they showed. They didn't offer anything else. It's almost like they're trying to phase her out, and your stupid ass is letting them. And if you feel like you can do better than Married to Medicine, use it to your advantage so that you can't actually leave and do better than Married to Medicine. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Married to Medicine is good for her. She's doing
a great
job on Sister Circle. They're in their third season, I believe it is now. And they've really taken ownership of that space. They're the only all-black talk show like that that's out.
Right.
Syndicated. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to be a part of. And she should be leveraging that with what got her ass there in the first place, which is Married to Medicine, and showing that. Show who you are. If this is the direction your life is moving, show that. Don't just show up at the group scenes when they're eating dinner, be cussing each other out, and you just sitting there. You're just there. And then you're going to be mad when they don't invite your ass back to participate on this show. Because please believe that extra, however much her salary is, she going to feel that if it's gone.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not buying it. Quiet hasn't done enough work to sell what she's trying to sell to me. I don't buy what she's presenting as far as her image.
Right.
She said, I'm so frustrated because it's such a good opportunity and I feel like she's wasting it. She said in these interviews with People, like, there's a new digital show that People magazine has that all of the stars that do their press runs have been going on. I think it's called Reality Check. She sat there, talked around things, never really addressed what they talked about on the show, used catchphrases and euphemisms and things that are specific to her being on the show, but that people who don't watch that show or who know you from Sister Circle won't know what you're talking about. So the conversation sounded strange. It sounded a little bit, like they say, inside baseball, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to something that people could understand. You just mishandling the greatest opportunity of all time, because I don't know how many more times we're going to get to really be interested in you just for you being there. Everything else is going to be a glad you got it opportunity. So fact that she's mishandling this and also has this assumed arrogance is such a turnoff, especially for people that's been rooting for her ass from day one.
Right.
So,
and I think the main thing is I don't want her to go down arguing with her friends, too. That's why I'm like, Mariah
then be
can
a smart bitch
argue.
Like Dr. Jackie and show a totally different side of it on the show. Now, they showing Dr. Jackie her brand new multi-level office. They showing her with all her great relationships with her patients. They showing her renovating her house. They're showing her book that she's one of three people that Andy Cohen signed to his imprint at whatever his publishing deal is. They show that. You amplify the other things. You don't have to be in conflict to be interesting. And after seven seasons on this show, you would think that the person who's hell-bent on us interpreting her in a certain way, which makes it come off less than authentic most of the time, but the person who's so hell-bent on us interpreting her a certain way, you would think she would know that and be a little bit more strategic about what she's doing. I'm sick of the bullshit. Sorry.
And then now we're going to go to your part two with the Love and Marriage Huntsville. I just quickly wanted to say, and sorry if I took you off on another tangent.
That wasn't Love and Marriage Huntsville.
No. That was Married to Medicine.
I'm so sorry, friend. It really gets real in the field about these things.
No, I just thought that was...
Love and Marriage Huntsville was hosted by Egypt Sherrod.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know who that is?
Of course.
Egypt Sherrod is an amazing host. And I want more for her. That's all I'm going to say.
Me too. I want more from her too, including her job, because I wish I would have hosted that damn reunion.
Well, take her job and let her go on and do other
Egypt's
stuff.
Egypt's amazing. I've been a fan of her since way back when she was on HGTV. So don't play
she
with me like I'm
like
a day one Egypt Sherrod fan.
Classic news anchor vibes or like a journalist from like 2020.
And still your homegirl.
Right.
Because like the way she went and sat on that couch with Kiowa.
Yes.
And was like, listen.
Yes.
Who was being completely insufferable.
The entire time.
Completely just ignorant.
The entire
hell,
time.
The whole time. Shout out to Kimmy. Kimmy has really won me over.
Yeah.
The only gripe I have that I always say when it comes to Kimmy is the way that she treats her son on camera. I feel like she's extra mean and assertive to him to convey to the viewers that she's like a all-encompassing parent, a really hands-on parent. And it don't always be necessary.
Okay, Kayla.
He can be making points to that are on her side in certain situations. Well, no, it's not that. Well, what you mean? You need to... Everything she says to him is just extra aggressive and hard. And it doesn't have to be that way. But she told the truth on that couch.
She did.
She was very matter of fact. And she's really won me over. Melody and Martell are still my favorites because it just is what it is.
I mean...
But Kimmy is a close second, like...
They are definitely the most interesting. It's something about the dynamic between those two that I just
Melody
love.
And Martell, it just is what it is. Like,
they're married, but then it's like the way that they have the conflict is so like they're both evenly killed almost. Like it's so weird to watch.
They know how to compartmentalize their anger toward one another. So they can function as business partners and go present and be honored or received well at events and do public speaking engagements. And they can also argue like cats and dogs behind closed doors. They know how to do that. So in this reunion, although they were addressing marital issues between the two of them, when it came time to explore the breakdown or just the journey of friendship that they've been on together, Melanie Martell was a unit.
Yes, okay? Because when Mama was coming up on there,
I don't fuck if we separated or if he dogged her out and cheated, whatever. They're a unit, and they was moving together like that. And it was just good to see.
It was amazing to see because Tisha's mama,
who
has great sense. Even though she was
but
wrong.
But they got her ass up out the paint, respectfully.
And she was wrong, and nobody wanted to really get there. But the way Melody, like, artfully pulled out. Because she was like, I didn't accept the apology. And then, like, pulled out, like, yeah, girl, but you needed to apologize. That's why you're apologizing, not just to get it out. Like, I was like,
Melody was very much on her E2 mama, Tambien shit. Everybody can get on that stage and they mama. So, you know, God bless their baby. And I just, Love and Marriage Huntsville is one of the best new reality shows that's been introduced in the past 10 years.
Damn.
For real.
That's a big statement.
And they're authentic in a way and unaffected by the celebrity of it all. In a way that is so endearing because we're actually getting an inside look at people who are not trying, quote unquote, to be reality stars. They know they on camera, and of course they're posturing as such, but it's still as close to authentic as it gets. It's very much season one of Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah,
very much.
I like this. Like, I don't know if it's like a reworking of narratives, but the way we kind of view these situations on reality TV is so much more like important now. Like when we look at black people on TV, it's not like, oh, if they on a reality show, they being ratchet. Like Married to Medicine, Love and Marriage Huntsville, like these are black people that have regular ass jobs that ain't trying to fight or trying to be on TV as much as they're trying to provide for their families, be great in their communities, like just be role models, whether it's to themselves, their children, or whomever. Like they're not trying to just be out here to get on and get on. And I think it's so dope to watch these shows come up.
And the conflict is good because it's not, they're not forcing it. The problems that they have amongst this cast are real problems that are rooted in things that have taken place. And so they're not sensationalizing the arguments or the drama to be interesting.
As is.
So when it just happens, it's just so good. And we don't get that a lot. So that's it, you guys, for TV Land. That also brings a close to this week's episode of The Friend Zone. Y'all know this is a story. It's on hiatus until we come back.
M-I-C.
So,
see you later.
K-E-Y. Yeah.
Anything Why? Else you because guys want you. To say before we're out of here?
No, just we'll see again. San Francisco, December 7th. We will be in your city. Once again, Trollops on the Trolley. So you can visit thefriendzonelive.com for tickets to that. And we will see Atlanta December 14th.
So excited. Yes. And as always, we thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. And we'll catch you next week.
M-O-U-S-E. Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.